Hi, and welcome to the Finally Pregnant podcast, the podcast for those who are finally pregnant and parenting after infertility and loss. I'm your host, Kat Strawbridge, and after almost 7 years trying with multiple rounds of fertility treatment, which sadly included pregnancy loss, I became finally pregnant in 2018, and I'm now finally parenting my gorgeous daughter, Ren. This season of the Finally Pregnant podcast is sponsored by Melio. Melio offers blood tests before, during, and after pregnancy, from non-invasive prenatal tests to general health checks, helping you and your family take control of their health. All Melio tests are conducted by trained professionals at locations throughout the UK, with the results sent directly to your phone or laptop. Plus, every test comes with a personal health report from a Melio doctor. Melio. The more you know about your health, the more you can do about it, and the best source of knowledge is your blood. To find out more or to find a location near you, visit meliohealth.co.uk/health-pregnancy. There'll be a link in the show notes. We've also recorded a bonus episode of the Finally Pregnant podcast with Melio doctor Donna Fullerton, where we take a closer look at non-invasive prenatal testing. Check out that bonus episode in season 4 of the Finally Pregnant podcast, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Hello there. How are you doing? We are coming to the end of this series of the podcast, and the finale, shall I call it, is a little different. Split into two parts, I wanted to share the audio diary I kept during my recent round of IVF. In today's episode, you'll hear about my clinic appointments, some of the prep I did before and after my transfer, and also lots of my thoughts and fears through my 2 week wait. Next week, you'll hear about my result, something that I know many of you may already know, but this is about my reaction to it, as well as the absolute roller coaster of emotions I experienced just in like the 24, 48 hours afterwards, to be honest. I'm a bit nervous sharing this because honestly, I'm not sure if you even want to hear it, but I am confident that some good can come from it. Whether that's because you are going through this or have been through it and you hear some of the things I talk about and realize that you are completely, completely normal, or if you're supporting someone going through this, it will be a really, I think, important insight into what goes on in the head of a patient. Now, obviously, this is my experience and we're all different people. So some of it might resonate and other bits might not at all. And that's okay. But overall, I hope that, yeah, you get lots from it, whatever that may be. I will say that across the two episodes, there are quite a lot of tears. Not something I do so much on Instagram and on the podcast, I realize, but they're there and they're real and I've left them in. There are also some laughs, which is good and something I do a bit more, fortunately. And there are more swears than you'd usually find here, but I'm pretty confident that you'll forgive me them. I'm going to leave this here for now, but next week I'll talk a little bit more about how I've been feeling over the last couple of months since we got our result. I'll, of course, continue to share some of this on my Instagram account, but soon I'm really excited to tell you that there's going to be somewhere else that we can talk about all of this too. It has become so apparent to me from reading all your comments and messages that we need a space, you know, we really do. And I couldn't be happier that due to coincidental back-end changes that are happening in the Hangout, I will soon be able to add new areas for members to talk about specific topics, such as treatment coming to an end, or having one child, or not having as many children as you'd hoped, going through sibling rounds. Basically, if you need a space, I can create it. And obviously, this is all on top of what you already get as a Hangout member, which includes the general pregnant and parenting chat, and the monthly support groups too. Plus, if you've enjoyed the Finally Pregnant podcast, you can now be there for live recordings of the expert sessions. Each month, we'll have new experts sharing advice and information on everything from nutrition, infant feeding, inductions, returning to work, and lots more. You can ask questions live to the guest expert and also have exclusive access to listen to the recordings afterwards too. This will only be available to Hangout members. And because it was my birthday earlier this week, I'm going to extend a little offer to you. Now, this isn't going on my Instagram. You will only have access to this if you listen here or you are signed up to my emails. But if you join the Hangout by the end of this week, that's Friday, the 1st of October, you can get 20% off the annual membership. That's a whole year of a whole lot of goodness for just £80. Head to catstrawbridge.com. There's a link in the show notes and come and join this incredibly supportive, confidential, safe, growing community today. And make sure you select the annual membership and you use the code BIRTHDAY20 when you do. I can't wait to welcome you in. Just before I go, my usual ask to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you can. And whilst it does seem a little bit strange saying enjoy, I hope you enjoy the show. Take care. Bye-bye. In addition to this podcast, you'll find lots of other support for the wonderful Finally community over on my Instagram at Trying Years and at catstrawbridge.com. Examples of that support include the Finally Pregnant yoga and Pilates courses and a wonderful community called The Hangout. When you join The Hangout, which you can do whether you are pregnant or parenting, you'll receive a free meditation, access to 24/7 support, invitations to monthly speaker sessions and support groups, discounts, and lots more. Find out more about all of the support available to you at catstrawbridge.com. There's a link in the show notes. Hi there. So I have just been in for my saline papel and scratch. It is absolutely chucking it down, which is what you can hear in the background. Sorry about that. I am not very well dressed in a t-shirt and sandals, but anywho. It was fairly straightforward. I have been back to the clinic. I went back for my blood tests a few weeks ago. So that felt strangely lovely and familiar and weird being back there. So this time I didn't have that to kind of deal with, but I had my first scan in a long, long time, and it was actually quite like all I could think the whole way through was, you know, kind of PTSD and that kind of thing, like being scanned again and seeing that screen. And it wasn't that room that I had had the scan in where we found out we had lost one of the twins, but it was, you know, next door. And so it brought back all of that. So it was actually quite emotional, which I wasn't expecting. Physically, it was totally fine. I did the thing of taking, they said, oh yeah, well take, there's some pads there afterwards, you know, when you're kind of getting dressed. And so there's some pads there, have them and they'll clear up. And so I took one of the nice neat ones because it didn't make loads of noise when you opened it. And then I was standing paying and I could just feel gushing coming from down below, and so I did pop him and said, I was a bit polite last time, do you mind if I take one of the bigger pads? so got one of them, and yeah, it was fine. And now I have to wait for cycle day one, and I'm on day 19 at the moment of the last one. I have to wait till cycle day one and then call them and then get on my medication, which is slightly different to last time because it's a frozen transfer rather than a fresh round of IVF, and also because of COVID restrictions saying that you're not allowed to take steroids anymore. It feels strange. And I did ask David, my doctor, about that and kind of said, I kind of want to do the same thing as I did last time because last time it worked. But we also discussed the fact that I do really believe, and he said it and I was like, yeah, that if the embryo is going to stick, it's going to stick. And Ren came from this batch of eggs and embryos, and so
I just really, really, truly hope that the other one is strong like she is, and that it survives, and that we bring home another baby. So, yeah, I just have to wait now for another 10 days or so and then call them, start the drugs, and then 10 to 14 days later come back for a scan, and then come back after that and transfer. So it's all going to be pretty quick as well, which is a bit crazy. But I just wanted to record this, I guess, just so that I had it, hopefully, so that when I'm pregnant and after I have the little one, I've got it to look back on. Otherwise, I'll probably just delete it. I suspect. But, yeah, I do feel a bit emotional. It's big. And it's big because not only is it, you know, is this embryo going to work and are we going to have another baby, but also because this is it. Like, really, this is it. We are not having another round of IVF after this. This is our last frozen cycle ever. Our last transfer ever. So if it doesn't work, I know that I've got a huge amount of grief and emotion and all of that that I'll need to face. And that scares me. It really does. On top of the idea that, yeah, if I'm dealing with that because this embryo hasn't worked. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it there for now. And that's it. Lots of love. Bye-bye. Hey, so I am currently sat outside the clinic, desperate for the toilet because I didn't ask whether or not I needed to have a full bladder for the scan that I'm going into. And you never know. And last time I had to wait for ages because I didn't have a full bladder and it took me about an hour and 15 minutes to get one. So I thought, let's on the side of caution this time. But now I just want them to call me in so I can go to the bathroom. I'm having a scan today to check my lining. I've been on my down regs for 10 days, almost 2 weeks. And we're hoping that transfer, all being well, will happen next week. But depends on today. I'm going in on my own again. Our clinic don't allow partners in at all, really, I guess, other than when they need to give their specimen, if that's the case. And yeah, so just waiting. Fingers crossed, lining is looking all good. Yeah. So I've just left my scan and my lining is looking good. So we have booked the transfer in for a week today, which is the 21st of July. I got into the appointment and I was a bit disappointed because for our last round, we had one consultant the whole way through and we kind of requested that at the beginning, and we were lucky that they said yes, because I do understand that not all clinics can accommodate that kind of request. But it was a different doctor today, and that kind of took me by surprise. And it also turns out that our consultant, who we love, is on holiday next week for our transfer, so can't do our transfer either. And I'm feeling pretty disappointed about that. And I'm really trying to let go of the whole it has to be the same as last time kind of thing, because our drugs have changed, some because of COVID, because they can't give steroids necessarily, others because they've just changed the way they do stuff. And I'm a different person, and this time I've got a daughter and I haven't been as good with my eating and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So even though there are some things that I have done because I did it last time, there I am trying not to be too rigid about that, because it doesn't matter who puts the embryo in, I suppose, or who checks your lining, as long as it's okay and it goes in, you know. And I am sticking with that. If it's gonna stick, it's gonna stick mentality. And whilst I am kind of grieving the loss of my expectations, I am also just going to let go and go with it and not let that be something that I hold on to or something that I think is going to affect the ultimate outcome of this round. So yeah, that's where we are. Obviously, I'm still kind of processing that, hence I feel a little bit guarded because I'm still, yeah, processing. But I know how I want to feel about it and how I'm going to feel about it. And I'm going to leave that there for now. So I've got all my drugs, my bag of goodies. It's been a long time since I've had a sharps been in the house. I've got my Lubi on and my Clexane and all my needles. And I'm going to head home now. And yeah, just hope for the best, really. See you here next week. Take care. Bye. It's Friday, the 16th of July, and I have just finished the most divine massage. I had this massage because I had the same massage with the same, it's a family friend actually, before I had Ren, so between egg collection and transfer, although obviously we're not doing egg collection this time, so I've kind of had it a similar time to when I had it last time. And it was one of the things that I really wanted to do the same. There's a lot that is different, you know, because I'm different, it's a few years later, life is different, but there are a couple of things, this and the hypnotherapy actually were the two things that I just thought, yeah, I really want to do that. And as Denise, who did my massage, has just said, the kind of my mind, body and soul is kind of clear and ready now. When we were in there though, I couldn't help but feel like it wasn't going to work, which felt really sad and still feels really sad. I have waves of thinking it's definitely going to work. But when I was in there, I did think, I just don't think this is going to work. And I don't know whether that's because in discussing it, we were kind of like, you know, I'm lucky either way. I really am. If it's Ren, and I know I've said this before and I'll say it again, if Ren is our world, it is a world that I'm so happy to be living in. And if we get another one, then that is the cherry on the cake, really. So we just have to wait and see. And I just was walking back to the car and thinking, you know, it's not about whether I think it's going to work or I think it's not going to work, really. It's going to work or it's not going to work, irrelevant of what I'm thinking. That's what I do truly believe. And so it's a case of waiting to see and yeah, being good and, you know, just eating well, drinking lots of water, which I haven't. And I've just realised I've left my bottle of water in her house. So I have to go and get that. And we did, that was the other thing. We did an angel card, which we did last time, and I got freedom. And I couldn't help but think that, yeah, like freedom from the trying. And either way, that isn't something that's going to happen or feel like a positive thing overnight. Because I think that either way, there's going to be a lot of emotion. And certainly if it doesn't work, I think I'm going to grieve the fact that we're moving on from that period of our lives. But I do know in the longer term that gives us freedom, kind of thing. And if we are pregnant and we have another baby, then that still gives us freedom from the kind of TTC years, which after almost 10 years, it would be 10 years next year. You know, that feels like a really, really good thing. So so I'm going to go back and get my water and then pick up Ren from her nana's and make my way gently home. It's transfer day today. I actually feel suddenly a bit nervous pressing play on this or record, just because I got a couple of lovely messages from friends wishing us luck, and that made me feel a bit emotional actually. I feel okay though. Yesterday I felt really low, and I just wanted to veg and do nothing, which I kind of did, I guess. And then in the afternoon, I did a bit of work and I really enjoyed that. And it kind of just reminds me that distraction is key. But then also sometimes vegging is key. I hope you didn't hear Bob coughing there in the background. He's not very well. It's not COVID, but he's not feeling great. He's actually slept in a different bed to me for the last few days because, well, just so I don't get it. Because the last thing I need right now is like a cold or anything, let alone COVID. But yeah, just feeling, I guess, optimistic. I had a hypnotherapy session last night, which is something that I really wanted to redo. I did that when I had Ren, and I had that for a specific reason last time, and it was because someone had told me when I was younger that I was going to be the auntie, gadding around the world, coming back and bringing my niece and nephew's presents. And when I heard that, I thought childless, you know, that's kind of how I heard that. And it was something that I'd carried through all of my infertility a bit, and I know they didn't mean it, you know, like that. It's just, but I went to see a hypnotherapist. Bob had read an article about it years before, and it had always been on my mind. And so before the last round, I saw a hypnotherapist, an amazing woman called Kristen Hayward. And she was just so lovely. And I can't remember how many sessions, not too many, but a few sessions with her last time. And this time, the massage and the hypnotherapist, they were the two things I really wanted to do. Everything else is different. The medication's different. The time is different. You know, I'm different. The world is different. But for some reason, those two things I just wanted to keep the same. And so I had a session with Kristen last week. And I had one last night just before I went to bed. And I'll have one tomorrow. So post-transfer as well. And when we finished our session last night, I felt optimistic because I had to have gone up and down with it. But I did feel really optimistic, actually, and excited, I guess that's the word. After my massage, I can't remember if I mentioned, but we had pulled like a card. I think they're angel cards. I'm not sure. And I had got freedom. And I know that once this is done, there is an element of freedom. I really do, and I'm excited about that. Even if it doesn't work, I am excited about that freedom. I'm a bit scared as well, and certainly I'm scared and apprehensive about processing the fact that, you know, it's all over. And I know there'll be times in our life when I'll wish that Ren's twin was here or that this one had worked. But overall, there will be a freedom and a moving forward that I am excited about, definitely. But getting that freedom card made me think, oh, that's it. You know, it's over. That's what we're heading towards. But Kristen really made me think last night that the freedom is about, you know, freedom from almost responsibility. There's nothing more we can do. We just have to let the embryo in my womb do the work, really. And funny enough, she pulled some cards, which isn't something she normally does. And of the four of them, one of them was freedom again, which is like a bit spooky, to be honest. But yeah, I'm sticking with her version of it. Not that I've got any other versions of it other than in my head, but I'm sticking with her version of it. And yeah, it's about, we're just going to let it happen and see what happens. And I know how grateful, I can hear Bob and Ren downstairs in the kitchen. I know how grateful I am. Like, I'm so lucky to have her. She is incredible. But I really do hope this works. Even though that scares me, it really does. I know how scary it is to be finally pregnant. I know that it's going to be a long kind of, well, I think you're 8 months pregnant by the time you actually find out you're pregnant, or, you know, as in you're a month pregnant already, by the time you know you're pregnant. So it'll be a long 8 months, but it will be wonderful too. And I do feel much more equipped this time with the tools to help support me. And, you know, like, I've got a whole community within the Hangout and all of the conversations I've had for the podcast and everything. So, yeah, I'm ready to be pregnant again. I really am. And hopefully, actually, this came up last night in our Finally Pregnant support group. You know, someone's pregnant again, like with their second living child. And they've got a little boy who's just a bit younger than Ren. And they felt like because they're body had done it before, you know, they did feel a bit more confident in it this time. And I want to feel like that. I want to have that feeling. That would be very special indeed. And I will be so lucky. We will be so lucky if that is the case. And I fully appreciate that the chances are it won't be. But we have to hope, don't we? So I'm all ready. I did have a shower. They say don't have a shower, but I think it's more about the scents and that kind of thing. And we're in the middle of a heat wave, and I kept the soap to the top half of me, and I had bought some kind of non-scented, all organic kind of stuff. So I just used that on my top half. And my hair has not been washed because I meant to do that over the last couple of days and I haven't got round to it, but it's up anyway. It's too hot at the moment to have my hair down. So yeah, Bob's got the day off, so we're going to go and have some nice breakfast after dropping Ren off at nursery, and I'll come back, maybe do a bit of work if we fancy, and then head off, because our appointment is at, I think it's 10 past 12. So yeah, with my full bladder, oh, I'm not looking forward to that bit. But actually, I interviewed someone from the podcast the other day, Miranda Ward, and she's written a book called Adrift, about the kind of her TTC years. And one of the things that she mentions in it, I was so glad I read it. It's a lovely book, but particularly because of this, about going to the toilet after your transfer. And one of the nurses apparently said to her, think of it like a grain of sand in a jam jar. It's not coming out. You know, you can go to the toilet. And that is what will be on my mind today, for sure. So, yeah. Wish me luck. Bye. Hey, so our little embryo is on board. I've actually just woken up from a nap. I was watching something the other day, I can't remember what it was, and they were talking about how you deal, oh, it was Grey's Anatomy, how you deal with your emotional load. And I do deal with it by sleeping. I just needed to come home and have a sleep. We drove down there. On the way there, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I haven't drunk enough water, because you have to have a full bladder when you have a transfer. It wasn't full enough quite, but it was getting that way. I had to go in on my own, which is upsetting. It doesn't matter which way you look at it, even if you totally understand why that's the case. Our clinic is still not allowing partners in. So yeah, I went and got changed and went in, and then video called Bob so that he could be there on the phone anyway. And it's so hard because having masks on and everything, he found it really hard to hear, but he was there, and that's the important thing, I guess. We saw the embryo go in. We were reminded, although when they said it, it kind of, I did know that that was the case. We previously asked not to know the quality of the embryo that was Ren, and we said the same thing this time as well. The thinking behind that is that there isn't a standard grading of embryos. So one clinic might grade it as, you know, I don't even know what the grades are, to be honest, a 1AA. And another clinic might grade it as a 3A or something like that, you know. And I just think also psychologically, knowing it's not as good as it could be, you know, might have an impact. I don't think it will, because ultimately I really think if it's going to stick, it's going to stick. And I know I say that all the time, but it doesn't mean that lots of other things don't cross my mind as well. I guess that's what I ground myself with. Yeah, if it's going to stick, it's going to stick. So we did the transfer. The nurse said it was a really brilliant transfer, really smooth. She did say that my bladder wasn't that full, but that the consultant that did it used to do it without scans before they even used scanning equipment. So ultimately he could do it with his eyes closed. So that's great news. And then as I left the clinic, actually, I did burst into tears. I was kind of fine all the way through, but as I left, I burst into tears. It really feels like, you know, the end of an era. And I know I've got to go back there for my beta in a couple of weeks. And then hopefully, everything going well, I'll be back again for our pregnancy scan. But it really did feel like, you know, I guess the beginning of the end of that part of our lives. Because that's our last embryo ever, and we're never making any more. Certainly not scientifically, if you know what I mean. And even naturally, I don't even think we'll try, just because of our ages and things. So hopefully this one will be our baby number two. Although I've said it before and I will say it again, if Ren is our world, it's a world that I am very happy to live in. if we can get a little brother or sister for her, that's just a bonus, really. There's no just, is there? Let's face it, that will be a massive bonus. But she is everything to us, so we know we'll be okay, whatever happens. So we both had a little cry in the car, and then we picked ourselves up and went for lunch and then drove home. And I've been asleep for, well, definitely a couple, if not 3 hours, which is exactly what I needed, really. I'm a little bit concerned about picking Ren up and doing all that. I'm going to try and avoid it as much as possible, which they kind of said to me too. But they also said, you know, you've got a two-year-old, people get pregnant naturally and carry babies around, and, you know. So, yeah, balance, I think, is key here. And then with regards to it working or not, I said to Bob, I don't know, last night, I think it was, that either way, we've brought our little baby home, you know. I did an Instagram live, which you can find on my Instagram or I think it's on my YouTube channel as well, about what happens to embryos that don't get used and that kind of thing. And the embryologist that I spoke to also told me about something that happens in America called compassionate transfer. And what they do is they transfer it at a kind of non-fertile time, because it just means it's going back home, I guess, really, which I really love the idea of. So that's what I feel like about this little embryo. Hopefully it will embed in and it will be home for, you know, the next kind of 8 or 9 months, and then we'll bring them into the world and have a wonderful time with them. But if it's not meant to be, I still feel like, oh, like we've brought it home, you know. Right, anyway, the 2 week wait has started. Whew. Let's do what the embryologist Gemma said and act poopo, pregnant until proven otherwise, and yeah, see what happens. See you. Morning. I know it might not be morning where you are, but it's 5:40. In the morning, the day after transfer, I woke up at like 4:45 and I listened to some meditations, and I just could not go back to sleep. And the clinic recommends kind of gentle walking, and it's so hot at the moment that it can be hard to do that during the day, you know. So I thought, well, sod it, I'm going to get up and go for a walk. And I got halfway around a field and thought, you know what? Well, not quite halfway, I suppose. And thought, oh my gosh, I haven't done any exercise for ages. And I don't know if this counts as gentle, given that I'm kind of out of breath. So I turned around and walked gently back. I do love this time of the morning. Just no one out, the sun coming up, the mist over the fields. It's yeah, it's a really, really nice time. I've always liked this time in the morning. Although I have to say that I do have the luxury of having a fairly clear diary this afternoon, so I will, in all likelihood, need and go for a nap. So that's all good. The meditations I listen to, actually, that's what I was going to mention. I was talking to Bob last night about how I'm going to just be pregnant during these 2 weeks. I know that there's that whole poopo, pregnant until proven otherwise. So, you know, I'm not the first to say it. But, yeah, I really am. And I'm even listening to my pregnancy meditations, which were kind of created off the back of some that I created during my fertility journey. And one of them in particular is about like picturing welcoming the baby into the world at the hospital and bringing them home. And yeah, I'm just going to go for it, because why not? And I kind of am. So I'm just going to celebrate it. I remember a while ago, someone contacted me to say that they really loved the kind of affirmation, today I am pregnant, and they really took that on board during their 2 week wait, and they went to a food festival and they walked up and down and were like, oh, I can't eat that because I'm pregnant. I can't eat that because I'm pregnant. I don't know if they said it out loud or just to themselves, just to enjoy that. And they said it was the best time, even though when they did their test, it wasn't positive. They just said that they really, really enjoyed that 2 weeks because it was the closest they'd been to being pregnant. And I kind of love that, you know, because I do think the only thing that kind of stops us, well, me anyway, should I say, is my ego, that I'm going to be embarrassed if it doesn't work, if I'm not pregnant, you know, when I was pregnant, you know, if I was going to miscarry, that kind of thing, that I'd be really embarrassed and feel foolish that I had believed that it was going to work. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to feel like a bit of an idiot. I probably will. But right now, how joyful to kind of think, yeah, I'm pregnant. And I know that feeling positive won't make me pregnant, you know. I do think that there's a lot to say about having a positive mind and all of that, but I don't know. Is that going to make the embryo in bed? I wouldn't have said so necessarily. However, equally, it's not going to do it any harm, and it's going to make this time much nicer for me. So I'm going to try not to be like counting down the days. I'm going to really try to enjoy it. It is going to be hard with Ren, physically, I'm speaking now, because I'm going to try not to lift her up too much, especially in these initial days. So Bob is having to do the lion's share, which he's obviously more than happy to do, and we're lucky. I always hate saying lucky because it's all because of, like, COVID, and I know how much heartbreak that's brought. But from our point of view right now in life, because he's working from home a lot of the time, he can do the getting out of the cot, the putting into the car seat, that kind of thing, which is really good. Although Ren has decided that this is the week that she is going to turn into the terrible twos. I can't remember if I mentioned that or not. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's a whole new world. Anyway, right. I'm going to go because I'm home now. In the background, you might be able to hear the crows that generally wake us up in the morning. Oh, there you go. Really annoying. Really annoying. But anyway, I will see you later. So a lot has happened. Well, I say a lot has happened. A few days have passed since I've last recorded. So I am day 7 post 5-day transfer today. And my insomnia seems to have settled, which is great news. On Friday night, the 23rd of July, I went to a full moon meditation, which was amazing. We went to one on the day that Ren was transferred. Ren was actually transferred on a full moon, and I found it it was a Facebook advert, I think, about 2 a.m. on the morning of transfer, and I just sod it. So we booked it and we both went, Bob and I both went, and yeah, just it was a really good experience. The guy who runs it, John, is amazing, and we really enjoyed it. And so I did have a look to see whether or not there was a full moon during my 2 week wait, and there was, and it was actually 2 days after the transfer. And so I've kind of decided, and looking, you know, at information up, that that's the day our little one has implanted. I went on my own because we couldn't get anyone to look after Ren, so Bob had to stay at home. But I went along, and yeah, it was just really, it's really powerful. And I did have, actually, I had a really weird experience, actually. One of the things you do, non-TTC related, but one of the things you do is you walk around and kind of look into the eyes, you know, socially distanced, of other people who are there, like as a way to kind of connect. And there was one woman, oh my gosh, I just felt really overwhelmingly emotional looking into her eyes. It was the strangest sensation, it really, really was. But it was so powerful, and it was all I could do not to cry. But yeah, I just wanted to give her a big hug. And then later on, when we actually were doing the meditation, I just felt really pulled on my right-hand side, like it was just really strange. And that was the side the moon was in, on rather. But yeah, I just had this real sense of something on the right-hand side, which was strange. But, you know, I don't know, like, I'm open-minded is what I'll say. You know, I'm not massively spiritual or anything like that, but I'm certainly open-minded. And it was just really, it's a really nice space to be in. So that was really great. And then I've spent some time with my family and Ren with their cousins, which has been really lovely because it's meant that when I've needed to, I've been able to have a nap and they've looked out for Ren. And for the most part, it means that someone has always been there for nap times, i.e. to put her in or get her out of the cot, because I have really tried not to be doing too much physical stuff with her. I haven't picked her up since we had transfer, which is horrible. And when she says, "Mummy, pick up," I find it really, really difficult to say no. But I always go down to her level and give her a cuddle down there instead. And explain to her, you know, that I can't at the moment. But and also it's just been a really lovely distraction, just being with family and stuff. Today was my first day where I woke up and just felt, I guess, distracted in a different way, you know, like I couldn't focus. I just thought, I don't want to work. I just want to sit in front of like a Netflix all day and just do nothing and just be numbed. You know, sometimes you just like them, just that kind of blandness almost. But I ended up having a session with a mentor, part of a membership that I'm with, and actually what we talked about was being grounded and being in nature and prioritizing and you know, focusing on this, and even things like the routine about the way you go to sleep and how you wake up in the morning and gratitude. And it was actually a really positive session. I was really pleased that I stuck with it because it did turn my day around. And today I shared on Instagram that we're on our 2-week wait, so I just did a live tonight, which was lovely, so lovely. I do love lives. I should do them more. It's just finding the time. Just talking about like the TTC years, which I'm always happy to do if anyone has any questions, because obviously, you know, I'm still there, and how I'm feeling about now. And just really nice to catch up with people and answer some questions and that kind of thing. I feel like there's loads more to tell you, but I just can't think what that is right now. I hope I've talked about my hypnotherapy. So I know I mentioned that I saw Kristin a while ago, and then I had my session post-transfer as well, which was really, really lovely. Just really gentle, and I don't know, I just find her really, really lovely. So just done what I can, basically, I think, and sticking with the, just going to try and enjoy these 2 weeks, because if I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall. The one thing that has happened this time, actually, is my stomach is so bruised. I've never had any reaction to the drugs, like, physically before. Maybe a little pinprick bruise here and there. But I've got 2 bruises, kind of, either side of my tummy from the drugs and the injections. It's really itchy as well, which is not fun. So that's not so good. And I'm definitely feeling more bloated. So that's a little bit more difficult. But, you know, it's really not that difficult in the scheme of things. And today I did Google, like, what are the stages after a transfer. And, yeah, today I did Google, you know, the kind of stages after a transfer. And day 7 today is when the embryo actually is a fetus, which is crazy. It really is, to think that it's actually in there and it's just started to secrete the pregnancy hormone as well. And, you know, you do think, oh, shall I test? And I'm not going to. There's still, day 7, I think. So we're Tuesday and our test day is Monday. So, you know, there's just, in my mind, for me anyway, there's no point, because if I did it tomorrow, I would have to do it every day, basically. That's what I feel like, you know. So why don't I just wait and just do it at the end when it's confirmed one way or the other. And we know definitely, and there's not that, oh, well, it's a negative today, but it might be positive tomorrow kind of thing. I'd rather just wait and do it all in one go kind of thing and just get a definitive answer one way or the other, for that stage anyway. But yeah. That's where we are. So day 7 after a 5-day transfer. Gosh. Right, I'm off to bed now. I will see you soon. Bye-bye. Hi there. It's day 8, 2 days in a row. Impressive. I just thought I'd jump on because the mornings are definitely harder. Like, I just find it really hard, just yesterday and today, to kind of focus myself. So I'm out running some errands. I've finally posted a parcel and a letter that I've been meaning to post for the last couple of weeks, and hopefully I'm going to drop off some other bits that I need to if someone's in. But anyway, you don't need to know all of those details. I definitely am feeling more antsy as time goes on. It really does get harder. And I'm getting to the stage. So some of you who might have been around with like my round with Ren might have heard me say this before, but I remember being in my 2-week wait that time and talking to my dad and saying, oh, test day. And that was a home pregnancy test for that. That was the plan. We did end up getting blood tests because I wasn't just, it was a bit inconclusive, the pregnancy test. But anyway, I remember talking to my dad about it and he said, well, why don't you just not test? And I was like, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about? But actually, it kind of made a lot of sense in some ways. Like his point was, you know, just wait and see. And if you get your period, then you get your period. And if you don't, you know, you're pregnant and that kind of thing. The issue, like the kind of flaw in that plan, is the fact that medication often stops you getting your period. So, you know, I'd rather know if I was, and I probably need to go and get more medication. However, rather than tearing holes in it, like I kind of get it, you know, I am actually enjoying this, not so much the limbo, but I guess it's the hope and the possibility that it might happen. It could happen. Whereas, God forbid it doesn't work, and when we test on Monday, you know, it's a negative, then it's the reality of that, isn't it? And I suppose it's about kind of hiding from that reality. Obviously, when it works, because it's going to be amazing. And I do know from experience that, you know, it brings around a whole different kind of set of anxieties and things. Although a bit like this, I'm going to try and enjoy it as much as possible, like even more so than I have done before. Yeah, but it definitely does get harder as it gets that bit closer. And it is because I don't want to know if it's bad news. I really don't. So I'm enjoying this limbo of being pregnant until proven otherwise. So yeah, just thought I'd share that with you in case anyone kind of is feeling or has felt the same. That's it. I'm going to go and continue to run my errands and then finally get myself down to some work. See you later. Bye. Hey there. So it's 10 days past our 5-day transfer and still feeling good, you know, not kind of up and down and symptom tracking and that kind of thing. Well, I have been feeling a bit nauseous here and there, but like the most I felt it was last Sunday, as in it was quite a lot during the day, even though it wasn't a lot of nausea. And then just here and there since, but it's totally a case of, you know, like, am I imagining it? Am I actually nauseous? Am I just hungry? Am I just imagining it? And all of that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's a bit of a pain. My bruising on my tummy is getting worse and it's really itchy. Has anyone else had that? Yeah, I've never had this before, unless I've banished it into, you know, the back of my memory. But I've never had the bruising particularly, and I don't remember ever having the itching either. So yeah, that's a bit irritating. Nothing a little dab of cream doesn't sort out, but you know. Last night I made the excellent mistake of leaving my medication at home when I drove down to my mum's, because we're here for we stayed last night and we're going to the farm today. And yeah, got here, put Ren to bed, My alarm went off from my medication, got it all out, did my Clexane, got the injections out for my Lubion. No Lubion. I was like, bugger. I had to call Bob and bless him, he drove all the way down. I did offer to drive halfway and meet him. It is only about 40 minutes, but obviously round trip, that's a bit of a pain in your evening when he thought he was having a night off. But bless him, he came to the rescue and dropped it down. So that was all good. It did make me think of another time that I forgot to take my medication with my round for Wren. And I got into London, which is like a good 45 minute. Like that's the quick train into London. Was in the middle of a meeting. Fortunately, it was in King's Cross, which is where my train goes to and from. Was in the middle of a meeting and then suddenly, it dawned on me. I hadn't taken whatever it was. Oh my God, the panic that then ensued. Fortunately, because I'm open about my treatment and the person that I was in a meeting with knew, she was amazing. And when I called my boss, she was amazing too. Just go home, take it. And I called the clinic and they were like, don't worry, don't panic. It's going to be okay. Just go home and take it as soon as you can. So I did hot foot it home and took the medication. And there was one other time that this made me think of also, which was awful, actually. Oh my gosh, I just remember it. Oh. I realised about halfway through my 2 week wait with Wren that I'd been taking my prednisolone incorrectly. Now, I'm not even taking prednisolone with this one, so, but I can't remember exactly what the details were, but something like I was supposed to take it 3 times a day and I was only taking it once a day, I think is what it was. And when I realised, I remember it dawning on me and I was stood in our kitchen and I just collapsed on the floor and just was like, no, you know, like very dramatic, but also, you know, very traumatic for me to think that, oh my God, I have fucked this up basically completely and utterly. And it's my fault for not reading the sheet properly. And oh, I was devastated, absolutely devastated. As we know, it wasn't a problem. Not that I would recommend necessarily people not taking their meds correctly, obviously. I have double checked my ones for this so many times, I can't even tell you. My clinic has an app, which is actually really good. So yeah, so I use that quite a lot just to double check what I'm actually supposed to be taking. But so far, I believe it's correct. And it was all well. I called the clinic. They said not to worry again and just kind of start taking it correctly. So I did. And yeah, everything was okay. So yeah, if suddenly you've taken the incorrect medication or not taken enough or taken too much, call your clinic, definitely. But try not to panic, because I can tell you from experience, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be the worst case scenario. But right, I'm going to go. See you later. Bye. Does anyone else think, well, it's got to work? It just has to work, doesn't it? You know, like, it, of course it has to work. It can't not work. That would just not be fair and ridiculous. And it works for other people. Of course it's going to work. And then you think, well, it hasn't worked before, you know? And I remember, gosh, I remember when we had our round. It was our third fresh round. And fresh rounds had always worked for us. You know, we'd miscarried, but, you know, we'd got pregnant both times. Whereas the frozen ones, we hadn't either time. And that third fresh round, which was going to be our last one, I was in such a good place. I really was. And the shock when it didn't work. And I keep looking forward to when we get our test. And I know it'll be a different situation because it's going to be a phone call, but that just like crushing shock when it doesn't work. And as much as, you know, I'm trying to stay positive and enjoy the 2 week wait, you know, I am obviously kind of imagining all the different scenarios that might happen. Like at the moment, I'm only imagining as far as it working or it not working. I'm not thinking past that. Other than, yes, we'll get our healthy baby. But yeah, God, the idea of feeling that shock and devastation, because it is a bit frightening. It really is. But as I've said before, and I will say again, there's no point in kind of sitting in that now. There's just no point. I'll deal with that when it happens, if it happens. And right now I just have to, you know, like, it does make me think even more, why wouldn't I enjoy this? Like, this is the last time I'm ever going to think, oh, I might be pregnant. And that's really special, really special. Because after this, I don't think we'll even try naturally. Like, I'm 43 and Bob's 46. I think we'll just have to move on from the TTC in our lives, you know? So this is the last time. I've only got a few days left of thinking I could be pregnant. And that's really special. And that's why I just have to hold on to it so tightly. And yeah. Yeah, and I must remember not to feel foolish. Really don't feel foolish. Like, why would I feel foolish? It's hard, isn't it? It really is hard. But I'm holding on to it, you know? I could be pregnant right now. The little placenta could be doing its job. The little fetus could be there, you know? How incredible is that? Why would I not focus on that? That is so, so special. Whew. Right. Bye-bye. Oh, three times in one day. I just thought I would come on and share because I had a proper meltdown earlier on. And I know I sound fine now, but I've cried and I've slept and I've woken up. And yeah, but I just thought I would share because it isn't all roses. Like, I know I'm trying to have this, like, or I have got this positive attitude and I'm trying to be chilled and everything else, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't kind of bubble up sometimes and come out in other ways. We were supposed to be going on a big family trip to the farm today with all my sisters and things. And something that I've only mentioned in one episode of the podcast is that Ren has got some issues with her feet. Issues that we're hoping she's going to grow out of, but she's got to wear like kind of special little boots and she grew out of them last week. They just got a bit tight for her and the new ones aren't coming till next week. So she's only got these sandals and it was raining. And it just makes me feel like a really shit mum because she hasn't got the right shoes. And I've got some Wellingtons that someone bought her ages ago, but they're around the right size now. And I tried them on her and she just can't walk in them. You know, she kind of, it just doesn't work. And so I was really worrying about that. And I shared that with, you know, some of my family that I was worried about it. And I was praying for it to kind of stop raining. Please, please stop raining. So it would be okay. Because otherwise we'd all end up inside in the soft play. And I didn't really want to be inside in the soft play because, you know, I'm in my 2-week wait and I really don't want to get COVID. And I don't know. I know that we should ask for help. Like, I know that, and I'm not the best at it, you know, because I kind of want people to just offer sometimes, you know, rather than having to get upset. And I talked about it several times and I kind of said, oh, I don't want to be inside, don't want to be inside. And I should know. I know that I should know that people don't get it and don't understand. Like, it doesn't matter how many times you go through this or how long you've been going through it. People just don't get it unless they've been there, you know? And it's really hard. And it's really, it makes you feel like, oh, well, it makes me feel like a bit pathetic and a bit like, you know, like, why do I always need the help? Why am I always the one that's worrying about something? Why am I always the one? And you just want people to get it, don't you? You really do. And to just offer and to just know what you want. And people aren't psychic, but that's really fucking frustrating. That is not the case. I want them to be. I just want them to say, look, we'll take Ren. And I know that the issue with, you know, the sandals and stuff is still the case. And they probably don't want to take that on. Because they're worried about her and her feet getting wet. As it happens, it's actually been fairly dry, it would seem. But yeah, so I just cue my meltdown and getting really upset. So my mum has ended up taking Ren with the rest of my family, like my sisters and my nieces and nephews, and I'm at home. And I was just, yeah, it just gets on top of you, doesn't it, sometimes. And Ren was up at 5:30 this morning. She always knows when it's my day because we're at my mum's. So, yes, of course, it's me getting her up. And rather than when it's Bob's day, she sleeps. Like, he has to wake her up at 7:30. It's so annoying. Yeah, so I guess that's the trials and tribulations of being on your 2-week wait generally with family and friends who don't necessarily get it. And then also the worry about, if you do have a child, like any concerns that you have about them generally, and having that on top of kind of everything that's going on within the 2 week wait and all the hormones and all of that. And sometimes it comes out, doesn't it? And it's shit and it's horrible. And I wish it wasn't the case. But yeah, I just thought I'd share it because I know I'm not the only person to have a meltdown during the 2 week wait. I know I'm not the only person who wished people would get it. And they just don't. It doesn't matter that you've been like trying for 10 years, basically. They just don't get it. And that's frustrating, but, you know, you kind of got to forgive them that. At least they don't know what it feels like, really. But I just want to be normal, you know, not have to have this meltdown, not have to feel like this. But anyway, yeah, it's not all roses. But fortunately, one of my friends called me and she's someone who does get it and I could share that with her. I was really grateful because I didn't want to, you know, it's a weird thing to call someone. You know, when you're upset, it's hard to call someone and kind of just moan to them. And like, who do I call? Like, people who, I want someone who understands it. Oh, no, it's raining again. I was going to go to the farm, but I'm not if the risk is that I'll just be inside the soft play. So anyway, I'm going to stop and make myself a cup of tea and have a cookie like my friend recommended. And yeah, speak to you soon. Hopefully I'll be feeling a bit brighter. Bye-bye. So the last couple of days have definitely been the hardest. It does get harder the closer you get, really. On my way home yesterday, I had like cramping in my stomach. Not massive, but... sorry if you can hear Ren in the background. But yeah, just like felt quite periody. And it got me thinking about how it's one thing to have a negative test at the end of the 2 week wait, you know, and I've been there and I've had that shock because I'd never seen it before from a fresh round. But to come this far and like have a chemical pregnancy, like for it to be there and to have, you know, that pregnancy hormone in your system and then but it not to last. And like that, you know, kind of goes on, doesn't it, for miscarriages and later losses, like to have gone through all of that. And then it's just, all of this is so hard, isn't it? It really is so hard. And you just don't know or understand unless you're in it. So last night, well, I cried myself to sleep and I woke up basically crying this morning. I woke up at 4 o'clock, which is really annoying because what I want is to kind of basically sleep through the next 48 hours. So it's test day. But instead I was awake from 4 a.m. So that was really not great. And just, yeah, just quite overwhelmed with the emotions of everything. Still, you know, firmly trying to enjoy it and not focus on being a negative and that kind of thing, because there's no point in living that now if we're going to live it in a couple of days time. You know, I may as well just even be on an even keel. And I don't know if I've said this on here before, but you know, this is the last time I'm ever going to be able to think, oh, I might be pregnant. So, you know, I really, really want to enjoy it. But yeah, like I say, sometimes the emotions and everything do get overwhelming. And it's the emotions of other stuff, like tipping into it and the emotions of this making other things feel worse. And, you know, so it's just a big mix, isn't it? So today we decided to go into Cambridge for the morning to get Ren some boots. We've got her a little pair of DMs, which are very cute. And we'll just like support her and be waterproof, waterproof enough, while we're waiting for her boots to arrive. So very happy with them. And we also, I got a pair of trainers. I haven't bought a pair of trainers in about, well, since we went to Dubai after our failed round, funny enough. So that's what, maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 2018 that would have been. So 3 years ago, feels like longer. Yeah, so, you know, Bob treated me to a pair of trainers and he got some as well because he never buys stuff either. So that was quite nice, although it wasn't the same. It is just different doing stuff with a toddler, you know, like we used to do that and go and spend a bit of money and to distract ourselves. And it was kind of quite enjoyable in a kind of, you know, trying to make do kind of way. But with Ren, it was quite a handful, bless her, because she did get a bit bored. And then we saw some family and came home and had a snooze because I really needed to. And now we're just kind of trying to get through. Well, we've just got the evening, I guess. It's terrible counting off the minutes and the hours and stuff, isn't it? And then tomorrow we've got a lovely day planned because we're going to see some friends who have moved to Ireland, but they're back over for a visit. So I'm very excited about that. And then Bob's playing cricket in the afternoon, so we're going to go up there and just, you know, hang out up there because the park's there and stuff. And then on Monday, it's test day.